Ask you to turn your Bibles over to John chapter 1. That's where we'll be studying from for a few moments this morning, John chapter 1. It's good to see you this morning. We've got a good crowd of folks with us. We've got several camps that have now been done and kind of out of the way, and that's good for the summer. We've got school about to start up. I know the kids are excited about that. I know my kids are excited about school, something brand new. We'll dive pretty deep into that even this week. With all of those things. I know the kids are excited about getting back to it. Maybe not as excited as us as adults and parents. The routine fits nicely in our home, much better when the kids are all in school than they do when they're not. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to having a little bit of quiet more in the house more than anything else, which will be all right as well. Well, John chapter 1 is where we are, and I'm excited about our study this morning, and I'm excited to be here with you as we have opportunity to worship our God as we have this morning. We have visitors with us. We want to welcome you and let you know that you are certainly welcome here at any time, that these doors are open, and that you have an opportunity to worship God with us here. We'd invite you back to be here at any time that you can. I want to begin this morning with an idea of what we're going to call our relational universe. And we're going to start with an example of my particular relational universe. And it's going to make sense because my universe is going to look very similar to yours. And the way that this is set up is that surrounding me in many different areas and in many different ways are people that I have a personal relationship with, someone that I know firsthand, the ones that all of you will fit into. Someone that I relate to, someone that I'm around, someone that I know firsthand, that right there, these are people that I know. But when it comes to my relational universe, that spreads out pretty rapidly because all the people that I know firsthand, they know people firsthand. And for the most part, it might be people that I don't know at all. But it's people that they know. And so my relational universe, as it is, will begin to expand. And you can take that out as far as you want to go. The people that I know some people. And those people know some people. And those people know some people. And we can keep saying that for the entirety of the half hour that we have this morning. But we won't. But the idea is that our relational universe continues to grow and grow and grow and grow because the amount of people will reach out basically about as far as you possibly want that to go. Well, I want us to begin to think about that reality this morning. It is on the screen behind me. I have me in the center, but you could put you in that same bubble because the same reality is in place for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us know people, and those people know people, and those people know people, and so forth. There's a book that I've read that it's good. It's an interesting read, certainly, and it's very pertaining to this kind of world. It's an advertising book. It's really about how things go viral, how it is that things explode. And the book is entitled The Tipping Point. And one of the phrases in this book is this: the tipping point is that magic moment when an idea, trend, or social behavior crosses a threshold, tips, and spreads like wildfire. Ideas don't spread because basically of different marketing plans. Even in our world of technology, in this book and in reality, as we're even going to see in Scripture in John chapter 1, things still spread by word of mouth. How many advertising messages do you think you come across daily? Billboards that you drive by, magazines that you're flipping through. I've got a sneeze coming. It may pass. I apologize, man. I thought I was about to explode into the microphone there for a second. It may sneak up on me here just in a moment. I don't know what you can do about that, but it's in there. It's in there, and it's close. I thought, boy, I mean, now it's got me really flustered big time. All right. How many advertising, I've got myself all worked up. How many advertising messages do we come across? The book will say 250 advertising messages each and every day. Now, do we buy 250 things every day? Do we go to 250 restaurants that we see advertisements for? Do we buy 250 cars from 250 different car places that we see advertised? No, we don't do that. Even though we are inundated with advertising messages, for the most part, who is it that we normally listen to? We are still normally listening to recommendations that we hear from people. In the book, it goes on to say, the paradox of the epidemic is that in order to create one contagious movement, you have to often create many small movements first. If you're familiar with technology at all today, there's something that, especially when it comes to videos, that when so many views occur, that video goes viral. And I began to think about that a little bit this week, and I thought, is there a specific number? I've heard that in my mind for a long time. Hey, that video went viral, or that meme went viral, or whatever the case may be. And I thought, well, is there a quantifiable number that hey, if it hits this, it goes viral? And there has been, but it's been interesting. As I was looking at it this week, that number begins to rise. That phrase really caught fire in 2011, about 6 years ago. And it was then for YouTube especially, if a video had 1 million views, that video was considered to go viral. Well, today in 2017, that's certainly not the case. Lots of videos have 1 million views. Today, in order for something to be considered going viral, it has to have 5 million views. And those 5 million views have to occur before 7 days of that video being posted. How does that happen? How does a video being posted on the internet somewhere and in just a few days have millions upon millions upon millions of views? Well, I'll tell you how it happens. I run across that video on the internet. And I think it's funny. It's some animal doing something. That's what most viral videos are that I've seen, right? It's some dog or cat doing something funny, and then I think it's funny, and I post that to my Facebook page. And all of my friends, I don't have a lot of friends, but I have some, and all of my friends on Facebook, they see that video. And half of those friends think, that's pretty funny. That dog doing that silly thing, and they post it to their friends. And half of those friends see that video, and they think, man, that thing's pretty funny, and they post it to their friends, and half of their friends post it to their friends. And if it's funny enough, and people think it's funny enough, and it begins to be posted and posted and posted, suddenly it has gone viral. Well, what I want us to think about this morning, can that happen with the gospel today? Can the gospel go viral, per se? I think that sometimes we think about those kinds of things in our own mind, and we really squash that idea. We read passages like we see in the book of Acts, and we see in the book of Acts the gospel going viral, where the gospel message spread and spread and spread and spread. And you see phrases in the book of Acts used like people were multiplied. Not just added to, but multiplied. Can that happen today? Can the gospel message go viral even today? Let's think about that. And we're going to use John chapter 1 to help. John chapter 1, John begins his gospel in a very different kind of way than the other gospels begin. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, we really talk about them in that way, and they really begin their gospel in a way that you would think and makes good sense. The very beginning of Jesus. And John begins his a little bit different. And lots of things occur in just the very first chapter. And by the end of the first chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus is teaching. He is ministering. He has followers. But it's interesting how it is that John says that begins. And that's where I want us to hone in on a little bit this morning. I'm in John chapter 1. And I'm going to read beginning in verse 35, and we're going to read down to verse 45, and we're going to point out just a couple of things that we can see from Scripture that I think can help us, can help all of us today to, number one, see and understand that the gospel, even today, is primed to explode and spread. And then secondly, how we can be a part of that. Two things, very simple. Both of those things we'll see here from John chapter 1. Let's read it together. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. It says, "Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, when translated, 'teacher,' 'where are you staying?' And he said to them, 'Come and see.' And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. And now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And now when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas.' And the following day, Jesus, wanting to go to Galilee, and found Philip, and said to him, 'Follow me.' And now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also of the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" All right, let's stop right there for a second. All right, in John chapter 1, the picture that we have of Jesus, the only one at this time who knows who Jesus is John. At this time, besides John, Jesus has zero followers. I want you to plant that into your mind because it's important. Outside of John, at this time, Jesus has zero followers. Nobody is following him. No one basically even knows who he is. And what happens, John points Jesus out to his disciples. And that happens in verse 36. He sees Jesus coming and he points to him and says, "Here is Jesus. He is the Lamb of God, the one who will take away the sins of the world." One of those disciples, Andrew. John points Jesus out to two of his disciples. One of those disciples, named Andrew, he makes a decision to follow Jesus. Andrew then brings along his brother named Peter, and Peter makes a decision to follow Jesus. Philip, who's from the same city, the Gospel of John tells us, the same city of Andrew and Peter, he now follows Jesus because of his connection with Andrew and Peter. And at the end of that text, Philip, who knows Nathanael, brings him to Jesus. Now, how does all of this kind of go together? How does all of this play? This early interaction with Jesus that we see in John chapter 1 and his first followers really get us to think about a few things. And the first is this important understanding to connect socially. I want you to take a look at John's, if you will, his kind of relational universe that we talked about this morning. John, he has followers. One of those followers was Andrew. And Andrew follows Jesus. Andrew brings his brother, Peter, who then, between them, know Philip, who's from the same city. And Philip brings Nathanael. And so now you have all of these connections where you have Jesus with zero followers, sees John. John brings Andrew, who brings Peter, who brings Philip, who brings Nathanael, and listen, in just a few years, the world is changed. Now, I want you to put that into your mind again. Jesus, who has zero followers, has John bring one of his. He brings his brother. They bring somebody they know from the town they live in. He brings somebody they know. And before you know it, just a few years, the world is changed. Sociologists say that the whole world is separated by just 6 degrees of relationship. The whole world. I'm not talking about the United States or the state of Indiana. The whole world, sociologists say. There's games put together where you try to tie yourself to famous people even to see how long it can take. I'll give you an example of that. Again, we'll talk about me. I have a good friend of mine. His name is Bill Cox, one of my best friends. He was my roommate at Florida College. He was the best man in our wedding. A very good friend of mine. Bill Cox has an uncle. And Bill Cox's uncle's name is John Schnatter. You may know him as Papa John. Papa John has a good friend who's in a lot of his commercials. His name is Peyton Manning. And in 3 steps, I have now connected myself to Peyton Manning. Not 6, not 7, not 10. 3 short steps, I have now connected myself to Peyton Manning. Now, I want you to think just for a second. Not in the whole world, not in the entirety of the United States, not in the entirety of the state of Indiana. I want you to think just in this city, our city of Indianapolis. I can almost guarantee that just with the people in this room, in far less than 6 steps, we have connections probably to every single person that lives in this city. Now, you can begin to question that, but I'm telling you, I took 3 steps and connected myself to Peyton Manning. I don't even know where he lives. Does he even have a house here in Indianapolis? I would say that just in this room, in just a few steps, we could be connected to every single person that lives in this city. Can the gospel go viral? John points out Jesus. Listen. John points out Jesus to 2 people. John chapter 1 tells us what? 1 followed him. Andrew brought who? Just 1, his brother Peter. Philip brings who? Just 1, Nathanael. Oftentimes when we talk about spreading the gospel, and we do so, the numbers hurt our brain. Oftentimes when we talk about spreading the gospel, even to something like this, the city of Indianapolis, the sheer volume of it hurts us, and the sheer volume of it says, there's just too much, there's just too many people. Remember, your own relational universe. And then those people are connected. And then those people are connected. John brought 1. Andrew brought 1. Philip brings 1. And before you know it, the world has changed. How many can you bring to Christ? How many people are you connected to, even socially? Well, secondly, I want you to understand that we've got to expect some cynicism, and even some cynicism from our own minds. Look back to John chapter 1. In the very next verse, in John chapter 1 and verse 46, when Philip gets Nathanael and Nathanael comes, he says there that Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, Come and see. Nathaniel is cynic about the whole thing. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And listen, for a lot of people, Christianity itself, the gospel itself, is Nazareth for them. The minute that you start to talk to them about Christ, what happens? They begin to roll their eyes. They begin to sigh. So how is it that we deal with the cynic? How is it that we deal with someone where you begin to talk to them about Christ and you feel them backing up, or you feel the cynicism rise, or you see their eyes kind of roll into their head? Here we go again. He's talking about Jesus, or that sigh comes. How do we deal with that? Well, how does Philip deal with that? Philip said in a very basic way, come and see. Sometimes I think as Christians, when it comes to sharing the gospel, we forget what our job really is. Our job is not to answer every person's argument. Our job most certainly isn't to begin and start an argument with every person. Sometimes we get into our mind and we read passages about the importance of defending the gospel, and we need to be able to do that. But it's not defending the gospel by pounding out every person around us. Our job is not to win arguments. Our job as Christians is to spread the gospel. I had, at the beginning of our service, or beginning of the sermon, read for us from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. And there are so many good applications that come from that parable. But sometimes we miss the most basic, the easiest of them all. The sower throws seed. Sometimes it lands on good hearts. Sometimes it lands on not so good hearts. But sometimes we forget that very basic part. Remember, our job is not to answer everyone's argument. Our job is just to introduce them to the gospel. I love Philip here. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Hey, just come and check it out. Just come and see. Just think about it. And then finally, what we learn from Jesus, the respect that he gives. Again, here in John chapter 1, Jesus remains positive. In John chapter 1 and verse 47, when Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." The gospel message is the most glorious thing that has ever occurred or happened to man. It is the most easy thing in the world to keep that positive when we're talking to others about Christ. Jesus sees Nathanael and he says, "Listen, behold an Israelite. Indeed, there is no guile," but yet also remains personal in the very next verse, where Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Why is it the people in our close relational universe, why is it that we want them to know Christ? Why is it that we want them to become familiar with the gospel? Well, simply answered, because of our love for them. Jesus remained personal, but also remains purposeful. Very end of that chapter, it says that Jesus said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Jesus keeps things gospel-focused. So what do we learn this morning? Two things. The first is this. Can the gospel spread, even in a viral kind of way? I believe it absolutely can. How do I believe that, or why do I believe that? Well, because I know people. And you know people. And those people know people. But one of the most powerful things that I think we can learn about all of this morning, especially from John chapter 1, is that we are in no way should be bogged down by the sheer numbers of the people in the world, or the people in the country, or the people in the state, or even the people in the city. Is there one person you can introduce the gospel to? Is there one person that you can say to when it comes to Jesus, come and see? Is there one? If there is, what if that one person has one person? And what if that one person has one person? What if that one person has one person? What if all of us had one person? And all of those people had one person? Oh man, you could see something spectacular occur. And ultimately, that's how the gospel becomes viral. John sees Jesus and points him out. Andrew points out Jesus. Peter points out Jesus. Philip points out Jesus. And for us, when it comes to our life, can we point out Jesus? I think we can. It's a powerful message, I think, on the power of the gospel that we see in John chapter 1. Think about it. You think about your one person. You think about your one person, and you introduce Jesus to them, and you see where it goes. Well, I appreciate you listening this morning. Tyson's going to lead us in a song of invitation. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for each and every one of us to think about where we are with Christ, where we are with relationship with God. And maybe it is that your relationship with God is not where it needs to be. Well, there's no better opportunity to do something about it than right now, and maybe we can help you with that. Maybe it is your sin which separates you from God that needs to be washed away in the waters of baptism, or whether it is that you've walked away from God for some reason and you understand the importance of coming back. If we can help you with any of those things, let us know as we stand and sing.